In Lamentations chapter 1, reading again from verse 1. Lamentations chapter 1, reading from verse 1. How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How is she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princes among the province, how has she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtake her between the straits. Heavenly Father, we ask again this evening that thy will to be done in her service. We pray tonight, Lord, that thy blessings and anointing would be upon the reading of Scripture. And Father, we ask this evening, Lord, that you would help us as we look at the Scriptures tonight, as we consider the book of Lamentations that you've given to us in your word. Lord, we pray that we can learn from it, not only historically, but Lord, some application and that will help us in our spiritual walk. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to title the message this evening, Judah's Captivity. And we gave an introduction last week in verse 1. And gave you just a few facts and a few thoughts about the book, the writer, and the time of the writing. We find that the northern tribes went into captivity to the Assyrians about 722 B.C. And Judah and Jerusalem went into captivity to the Babylonians about 586 B.C. And we find that the book of Jeremiah was written showing that the captivity was coming. And the book of Lamentations is looking backwards. Jeremiah got to see all of the destruction in Jerusalem. That's where he was at. And so he's looking back in the book of Lamentations, speaking about what has already taken place and the condition of the people. As I said last week, this is a forgotten book. It's a neglected book. If I were to ask you, when's the last time you've just read through Lamentations and said, wow, I love this book, and I would be afraid to ask you that. Now, I know we were in it last week, but it's like a funeral song for the city of Jerusalem. And even though it's probably the saddest book in the Bible, it is filled with truth. It's rich in truth for God's people. And we know that the things that are written in the Old Testament are for our learning and our encouragement and things of that nature. What is the meaning of this book, the Lamentations? To lament. And it means to cry aloud. It's a book of crying, a book of sorrow, sadness, weeping, and grief. As a matter of fact, as we back up into Jeremiah, they're next door. Notice in Jeremiah, in chapter 52, the last chapter of Jeremiah, you notice with me that in verse 4 and 5, he said, "And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, and all of his army, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and built forts against it round about. So the city was besieged under the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And in the fourth month, in the ninth day of the month, the famine was sore in the city, so that there was no bread for the people of the land." And we're going to see this in chapter 1 of Lamentations. So we find that this city was under siege before the city was burned, and before many of the people were killed and others carried into captivity. In Jeremiah chapter 52, in verse 23, you find that the house, it says, "And burned the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, and all the houses of the great men burned he with fire." In verse 14, "And all the armies of the Chaldeans that were with the captain of the guard brake down all the walls of Jerusalem round about. In verse 15, they carried the people captive. Certain ones carried them. There was two or three different ways of captivity, different groups that went. And then in verse 17, again, the house of God is destroyed, and it said in the latter part of that, and they carried all the brass of them to Babylon. They not only burned the city, destroyed the temple, Solomon's temple, but they carried all the things out of that temple and carried them to Babylon. And then in chapter 52, verse 27, the last part of that verse, it says, thus Judah was carried away captive out of his own land. And so when we come into Lamentations, we're looking at the captivity. Jeremiah is considered as the weeping prophet, and we find throughout the book of Jeremiah and Lamentations that he wept for his people and for his city and for the temple and all that that stood for. And we find that Jesus Christ in John 11, he wept over Lazarus and his family, Mary and Martha. He wept over Jerusalem in Luke chapter 19 because he gave a prophecy that Jerusalem would be destroyed. He wept in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before the crucifixion. You read about that. And then he wept on the cross because he quotes Psalms 22 and verse 1, which says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's not only in the New Testament, but it's also in the Old Testament. And we find others that have wept in the Bible. And the Apostle Paul said in Romans 12, 15, rejoice with them that rejoice. And he said, weep with them that weep. So we find a city, a people. Many have been killed. The temple that represented God's presence and holiness is burned to the ground. The walls of the city is broken down. And a few got to stay in the land of Judah. Jeremiah was one of them. But we find that many of them was carried into Babylon for 70 years. And it depended on what age you would have been when you went there as to whether you would get to come back again when they rebuild the city and the temple. Well, notice now, we find in verse 1, we mentioned this last week, and he says, how doeth the city sit solitary that was full of people? Notice it's empty now. How she become a widow? She that was great among the nations and princes among the providence, how is she become tributary? That is, become a slave, owing tribute to someone else. She's considered, she was a princess at one time, and now she is a widow. This is describing the city, and Jeremiah begins here, and he's asked this question, and he asked it with reverence. And he gives us the answer throughout the book, but how did all of this happen? How did this come about? And that's what this book describes, is how that this literally came to pass. So we have a contrast between the past glory of Israel. In other words, she was great among the nations as a princess. Now she's a widow. She's a slave. And so there's a contrast between this past glory and the devastation that they were under when he writes the book of Lamentations. Lamentations was probably written within just a matter of a few months after that the destruction took place. Now, he repeats himself a lot in this book, as we find all through the Scripture. So we're going to do this evening the first 11 verses, and then we'll pick back up in verse 12 next week. But notice as we come to verse 2. In verse 2, now, there'll be some things I'll camp out on. There'll be some things I'll just pass over. We'll pick it up in another verse because there's some repetition here in this book. But he says in verse 2, he says, she weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. So her lovers here would be her friends. They have become her enemies now. You can write down Jeremiah 4, verse 30, where it mentions her lovers, those who she had association with. even with Egypt and some of the other countries, they now have turned on her. When the Babylonians came to destroy Jerusalem, none of the other nations offered to help. They have, as a matter of fact, as we read through this book, you'll find that they rejoiced in the fact that Jerusalem had fallen. And they had fought together in battles and against enemies, but whenever this happened, they became her enemy, and nations rejoice in this. And also you'll find that, and it says, and she weepeth sore in the night. Her tears are on her cheeks. And you can write down Jeremiah 13 and verse 7. He's the writer of both books, and he describes what will take place. In verse 3, he says, and Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. And we're going to read a verse in a few moments. Deuteronomy 28:64 shows us that she dwelt among the heathen. And but he goes on to say in this passage, says, and all her persecutors overtake her between the straits. When he mentions there, they overtake her between the straits. In the midst of her distress, she was overtaken. In other words, in the midst of all, she was under siege for a period of time. People are starving to death. We'll see that as we read through the book. And in the midst of all of her distress and all of her problems, she is overtaken. And again, the walls torn down, the temple destroyed, many people die, some flee, some are carried into captivity. And I would encourage you, as we read through this book, and we're actually going to turn to one of these passages in a moment, but I encourage you, there's two chapters in the Scriptures that Moses gives us that describes what is taking place hundreds of years later. And if you read through Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, we have an article titled Blessings and Curses and a sermon on that. You read through those books, those chapters, they start out, and the first part of both of those chapters start out, if you obey me and keep my commandments and statutes. God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you in your families. I'm going to bless you in your cities and your land, your crops, your health. In other words, I'm just going to bless you in every way. And he says in Deuteronomy 28:12, he said, you'll be the head and not the tail. And he said, you'll be the lender and not the borrower. Now, he just goes through a tremendous amount of blessings. Then, as you step into about 13, 14, and 15 in Deuteronomy 28, he begins describing, if you don't obey me, he begins listing curses there, from physical infirmities to the land not producing crops. It just goes on and on. And it also describes in both of those chapters the enemies that would come against them. As a matter of fact, it not only describes the enemies, but with Judah, it describes the Babylonians, and it also describes the Romans that carry you out to A.D. 70. So we're talking about the first few books of the Bible, and hundreds of thousands of years later, the prophecies are still being fulfilled in those two chapters in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. So he says here in verse 3, Judah is gone into captivity. We see the word captivity again in verse 5, and we see it again in verse 18. We see it again in chapter 2 and verse 14. In other words, she is gone into captivity. Also, it says in verse 3, it says that she dwelleth among the heathen. In other words, she's taken out of her land that God gave her, the promised land, and carried into a foreign land. Again, many of the northern tribes were under the Assyrians. They had been taken captive. And now we have Judah and Jerusalem that are taken captive, most of them, into Babylon. Notice now, as we come to verse 4, and again, we will see some repetition. So there'll be times we'll camp out for a little bit, and other times we'll We'll pick the thought up later in the book. He said in verse 4, he said, the ways of Zion do mourn, because none come to the solemn feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Now, this is describing Zion is Jerusalem. The ways of Zion do mourn. Notice not only do they mourn, but he said, because none come to the solemn feast. There is no more celebrations. The annual feast days are no longer being observed. There were seven feast days. And three of these feast days, people gathered in Jerusalem. You remember in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost, that's one of the feast days. Thousands of Jews were in Jerusalem on that day of Pentecost. And so we find here that there's not even anyone traveling the roads. He says in verse 4, the ways of Zion do mourn, because none come to the solemn feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. So there's no one traveling the roads. There's no pilgrimage here of the temple and is gone. There's no more animal sacrifices. The roads are empty. The gates are empty. The city is empty. You see, they remembered the celebration, and there was great joy coming together to the temple and to these feast days. There was great celebration and joy that took place, and now there's the disappearance of worship because the temple is no longer there. And so they took great joy in this, and people would travel and they would come to Jerusalem if they were living in outside of Jerusalem. And just, it'd be a great opportunity to come and worship and participate in this. But none of that is happening at this time. You notice in verse 5, he said, her adversaries are chief. That means they're master over Jerusalem. Her adversaries are chief, or the chief. Her enemies prosper, for the Lord hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. So you notice, and I highlighted this in my Bible this week, and just, you know, how things that kind of jump out at you. Notice it says in verse 5, in the middle of that verse, it says, the Lord hath afflicted her. And then going on to say, for the multitude of her transgressions. Notice the Lord had afflicted her. And it even says, and her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. Every decision, everything in our lives, whether it be good or bad, it not only affects us, it affects our children. And so the sin that the Israelites were committing had affected the children in the fact that the children have been brought into captivity as well. Now, here's where I want to turn away for just a few moments, and I want you to notice in Deuteronomy chapter 28. In Deuteronomy chapter 28. And again, maybe it would be a help that if you would just read through Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 before we come together on Wednesday night, and that'll bring things into perspective of the issue of blessings and curses. So the adversaries have become masters, and not only have they been carried into captivity as slaves, but their children are carried into captivity. Now, two statements in verse 5 that are important that we just read in Lamentations. One is that the Lord afflicted Jerusalem. The Lord afflicted her. And secondly, because of the multitude of transgressions. So because of the sin, it is the Lord that has allowed and has brought this upon them. Now, notice with me as we read in Deuteronomy chapter 28, I'm going to come down toward the end of the chapter. And notice with me as we come down to verse 58. Now, we'll be coming back into this chapter again in other studies in this book of Lamentations. But notice in verse 58, just notice some of the things here. By the way, in this chapter, it's an amazing chapter. Again, we preached on it, written on it. It describes about every kind of sickness and every kind of problem that you can possibly have that could happen to a human being. It's described in this chapter. And by the way, let me just, I was going to start in verse 58. Let me back up and just really pick up the Babylonian aspect of this, because that's what we're studying in Lamentations, is what Babylon did to Israel. Notice Deuteronomy 28, and I am backing up to verse 49. Now, this is a reference to the Babylonians by the way it's worded. It said, "The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine or oil, or the increase of thy kind, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. He shall besiege thee in all thy gates." Everything we've just seen already, we find in the book of Jeremiah and also Lamentations. So Jerusalem was under siege by the Babylonians. And they were under siege again in AD 70 by the Romans. And the Romans are mentioned in this chapter as well toward the very end. But notice verse 52, and he shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high and fenced walls come down wherein thou trustest throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, and the fruit of thy sons and of thy daughters. We're going to pick that study up later on in the book of Lamentations. And I'll just stop reading there, but he's just describing the horrific things that took place of even eating their own young. That's mentioned in Leviticus, Deuteronomy. Here in chapter 28, it's mentioned in Jeremiah. Chapter 19, I believe it's verse 6, it's mentioned twice in the book of Lamentations. It got that bad in the city of Jerusalem. And by the way, it happened again in AD 70. Josephus, the Jewish historian, had described some very same things that took place under the Roman siege. Well, notice now in verse 58, and he says here in verse 58, he said, "If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plague of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuous and sore sickness, and of long continuous. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And you shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. It shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and you shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess." And notice now verse 64. This reason I said a moment ago that they would be scattered. He said in verse 64, "And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people." Now think about this. The Lord scattered the northern tribes in 722 B.C. And a little over 100 years later, he scatters the southern tribes. And so this is a prophecy given to us by Moses, that if you don't obey, your enemy is going to overtake you. And he goes on to say in verse 64, "And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone." Verse 65, "And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy feet have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have no assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, Would God it were even, and at the even thou shalt say, Would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart, wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see." So he's describing just carried into captivity, Judah's gone into captivity, and describing the fact of the things that would happen to them. Now notice this. This is a prophecy that fits the New Testament, verse 68. "And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you." This seems to fit when the Romans had destroyed Jerusalem, killed about 1 million people, and I believe it was either 100 or 200,000 that was carried into slavery, and many of them were shipped into Egypt. And I think this is the only, I think that would be the only time you find in Scripture where they were sent back into Egypt. So we have the Babylonian captivity described in Deuteronomy 28, hundreds of years before, and we have the Roman captivity or the destruction of Jerusalem thousands, at least a few thousand years before. All right, now go back with me to our text. And if you're taking notes tonight, Daniel, the book of Daniel, when it talks about the Lord, has afflicted Jerusalem. I'm coming back to verse 5 now. "And her adversaries are the chief," that is master, "her enemies prosper, for the Lord hath afflicted her." You write down Daniel 9, verses 7 through 16, where he describes the reason Daniel's writing from Babylon toward the end of the captivity. And Daniel is still confessing the sins of God's people while in captivity near the end, whereby they would be able to go back and rebuild the city. And also write down Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 through 4. It is sin that separates us from our God. That's very clear. All right, now notice in verse 6, as we come to verse 6, and he says here, "And from the daughters of Zion, all her beauty is departed." We find that the spiritual beauty that Jerusalem had has now been taken away. As a matter of fact, in chapter 5:11, it says, "The crown is fallen from our head." And all we got to do is read through the Old Testament and places like Matthew 5, verse 34 and 35. Jerusalem was very special in the eyes of God. And the children of Israel knew that. It was in Jerusalem, Zion, the city of David, it was in Jerusalem where God placed his name, where he had the temple built, and where that the glory of God came into that temple. God's presence was among the nation of Israel. So this was when he says here in verse 6, "And from the daughter of Zion, all her beauty is departed. The crown is fallen. The spiritual beauty is gone." And then he says, "Her princes are become like harts that have no pasture, and they are gone without strength before the pursuer." In other words, we find here in this passage that as a deer that is weak and hungry is easy to catch. And so they were like an animal that are weak with no pastor. They were without strength, and they were overtaken by their enemy. In verse 7, he says, Jerusalem remembered in the days of her affliction and of her miseries all her pleasant things. That is, all of her good or desirable things. Okay? Now, memories, there's memories here of what they lost. There's memories here of what they lost. And you think about that. You know, when you we lose a loved one or we lose something that's precious to us, you have fond memories of that. And so he says, Jerusalem remembered in the days of her affliction and of her miseries all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old, when her people fell into the hand of the enemy and none did help her, the adversary saw her and did mock at her Sabbaths. And it's a horrible thing to have something and have that you really loved and you desired, and then to lose that. And so she had memories of what she had lost. Think about the rich man that lifted up his eyes in hell. Think about what he remembered, that fared sumptuously every day. And so he had a memory of the good life. Jerusalem had a memory of all the blessings that God had poured out upon them. And now they're in captivity. The city's gone, the temple's gone, the walls are broken down. And it's not just Jerusalem, it was all of Judea that had some devastation at this time. So they're in captivity. It'd be like somebody locked up in prison or in jail, and they're remembering the freedom and what they had before they went into prison. Well, notice with me now in verse 8. He said, Jerusalem has grievously sinned, therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her. Because they have seen her nakedness, yea, she sideth and turneth backward. Here in this, grievously sinned. And in other words, terrible, wicked sins that Jerusalem had committed. And they see her nakedness. You can write down Jeremiah 13:22. That is nakedness, not in our society anymore, but it used to be a shame. To bear our bodies and so forth. And so he's bringing this over into a spiritual arena and using this with Jerusalem. Babylon is referred to the same way in Isaiah 47, the first 10 verses, and talking about her shame and her nakedness as we see here in this passage. In verse 9, it says, her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembereth not her last end. Now, when she's in captivity, she remembered the good things that she had. But before she went into captivity, she was not in remembrance of what the consequences of sin are. So in verse 9, it says, her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembereth not her last end, that is her future and the consequences of sin. Therefore, she came down wonderfully. She had no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy has magnified himself. Total devastation and destruction that we would see. Now notice with me in verse 10, how many of you ever looked at pictures cities and different countries that have been destroyed by war? I mean, you could go in our country and go back to the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, and you can look at devastation all through the South in the Civil War. You can look at pictures of Germany and Poland and places like that, of the bombing raids and so forth. Well, if you could see those pictures in your mind and say, this is what Jerusalem and Judea looks like. This is how that they were left because of God allowing the enemies to come and destroy them. In verse 10, it says, the adversary hath spread out his hand upon her pleasant things, for she has seen that the heathen entered in to her sanctuary, whom thou didst command that they should not enter into thy congregation. We find that that in this passage, there's a number of places, but in Deuteronomy 23:3, that the heathen, the pagans, were not to enter into the sanctuary. So now we see the pagans, the heathen, have torn down the walls of Jerusalem, and they have entered into this sanctuary. They've carried all the vessels of gold and silver out to carry them back to Babylon. And you know that Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, when he was reigning in Daniel 5, they were drinking wine and getting drunk out of those cups. These cups were sanctified and were used in the temple. And so the heathen went into this sanctuary and destroyed it all and carried all the valuables out. And the Romans did it again in AD 70. They carried out what they could, and they burned the city and the sanctuary. So notice he says now in verse 11, he said, "And all her people sigh, they seek bread, they have given their pleasant things for meat to relieve the soul. See, O Lord, and consider, for I am become vile." There wasn't enough money to buy bread. They gave everything they had trying to buy something to eat. Again, as we read a moment ago in Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 52 and verse 6, it says, "And in the fourth month, in the ninth day of the month, the famine was sore in the city, so that there was no bread for the people of the land." You'll find this again in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 4, verse 16, chapter 5, verse 16, chapter 4, verse 13. But let's read two other verses and we'll close. Notice with me in Lamentations, chapter 2. I'm just going to mention this now. We'll look at it when we get there. But notice this. And I want you to keep in mind, I'm not going to turn there and read it right now, but I want you to read 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 14. God uses Israel, ancient Israel of the Old Testament, uses them as an example for those of us in the New Testament. And he goes through the list of their sins and what had happened to them. And so this is given for all ages. Take warning. Take heed. Well, notice in chapter 2, it says in verse 20, it says, "Behold, O Lord, and consider to whom thou hast done this. Shall the women eat the fruit, their fruit rather, and the children of a span long," that is a span about 9 inches long, like an infant, a young baby they've just had. "And shall the priest and the prophets be slain in the sanctuary of the Lord?" Notice that, "Shall the women eat their fruit and the children of a span long?" Notice in chapter 4, we read in verse 10, "The hands of the pitiful woman or women have sodden their young children. They were their meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people." We're talking about devastation. We're talking about cannibalism and everything else. We're talking about very serious things. The Lord has afflicted her. Why? Because of the multitude, because of the multitude of her sins, as we find in verse 5, said, "The Lord hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions, and her children are gone into captivity before the enemy." So what we're studying throughout the book of Lamentations is a very sobering book. Now, there's much hope in it. As we read through it, we find the repentance, their prayer. We find the mercies of God. We find hope. We find hope in this book, but we also find a lot of sadness. And to bring some sobriety, I think the church today needs some sobriety you know, across our land, especially in America. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank Thee this evening for Thy word, Thy truth. And Lord, we thank Thee for being our God. And we pray that we take heed and take warning to the truths that You've given to us in Your word, that You're serious about Your word and Your commandments and Your statutes and Your ordinances. You're serious about that. And Lord, help us to be serious as well and take joy in what You have given to us. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.